Welcome to Building 72, the podcast brought to you by the Entertainment Arts and Engineering Program at the University of Utah. Thank you for joining your hosts, Adam Hunter and Corinne Lewis, to talk about the video game industry and, you know, probably other stuff.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Building 72. As you know, I am Adam, and with me, you know, as always, is Corinne.
Hello.
And today we have a very special guest, because I know we say they're very special every week, but this is the first time we've ever talked about what this person does. So I would like to introduce Michelle Fuzari. Michelle, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, about where you came from, about where you are, life, the universe, everything, you know, just normal stuff.
Sure. I guess we'll go way back to the beginning. So when I grew up, my dad would play Myst and Doom, and I became enthralled with video games. And then my family is musical, and I was like, awesome. So I've always been interested in music and games. And I went to the U of U. Actually, I was going to be a nurse or I was going to become a teacher. And then my mom said, hey, you play video games like 40 hours a week. I was like, yeah, you don't have to rub it in my face. She's like, I just found out they started this program up at the U for video gaming. And so I was like, yes, sign me up. Let's go. And going through there, I noticed nobody was really doing audio for any of the projects. And so, and I was also on the artist track. And so I kept putting my skills towards like whatever project I could, even if it was outside of my class. Mm-hmm. And Bob and Roger in my junior year invited me to the senior capstone class because they said, we need help with art and nobody's doing audio. So I joined the capstone class early, but I also did do it again my senior year.
You're one of like four people that has done it twice.
Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I was graduating, I remember telling my mom, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I learned that there was the master's EAE program. So I was like, I know what I'm doing. I'm going back to school. Going through the master's, I also wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I ended up, I loved the classes that the Disney folks were teaching us. And I was becoming close to thinking, okay, I'm going to do animation. But again, nobody was doing audio. So I was also doing audio for quite a bit of our projects, at least helping where I could. And then Corinne, bless her soul, pokes me and said, hey, Mythic, EA Mythic up in Virginia has an internship for audio. And I was like, woo. And I applied and I got the job, and I flew out to Virginia for a few months, and I did Mythic stuff there, where I worked on, they had just recently turned into a mobile studio. Mm-hmm. And before they were doing Warhammer Online stuff, and then like another Warhammer game. So I worked on some Warhammer stuff, and then we focused on our mobile game Ultima Forever, which is actually kind of an old school game based off the Ultima series. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much there, and I became great friends with the audio director there, and we're still friends. He actually got me my job at EA Salt Lake. When my internship was over, they did offer me a full-time job.
I remember that.
Dang.
But I talked with my boyfriend at the time, or my fiance at the time, and we decided we wanted to stay in Utah and get married. I worked as a call representative for the Affordable Health Care Act for a while, and that was not my thing.
It's a slightly different,
like, change the rent. Of pace. It was fine. I just remember you like, look, I don't know if any of this is ever going to turn into anything, so I've got to get a job.
Yeah, I remember I helped. Mark was doing some summer classes, and yes, I ended up doing some sound design for Thoreau's games. But man, being a call person and dealing with angry people about the Affordable Health Care Act all day was just not my jam. Luckily, the audio director at Mythic called me up and he said, hey, EA Salt Lake needs a new audio person. I was like, sure. So I got that job. They had just been turned into a mobile studio as well. And that's when I got to build the sound design for Minions Paradise. And I got to listen to the Minions speak every single day.
What a fun time for you.
And I like ended up dreaming in Minionese at one point.
Oh my gosh. I was like, I guess if you worked on The Sims, it would have been Simlish, right?
Simlish, yeah. But at least, yeah. I don't know. There's like every time I see Minions now, I get kind of like a
PTSD. I know a couple of people that worked on that project that have said something similar.
Yeah, Owen worked with me for a while. I was like, I need help building this game. Please give me another audio person. And luckily, yeah. Owen applied. I was like, you're perfect. Please help me.
So, yeah, now he's a professor.
Yeah, working at, oh my gosh.
UVU.
Yeah. I'm their like ambassador for sound design in the industry. So sorry, Owen. I'm messing up titles and names already. But so
I want to point out really quickly that at the beginning when I said, you know, you were the first person on who does what you do, I was referring to sound design and sound engineering, but you very well might also be the first guest whose parents convinced them to go do video games in school, because normally that is a very different conversation.
Yeah.
And normally that is, mom and dad, I promise you video games are a thing and I promise I can do it.
I know. I'm like, for all the times you complained at me for playing video games all day, mom, is this really what you want me to go into? She's my like, well, you might as well put that to you.
So yeah, I was
like,
my parents are still shocked, to be honest. So. Mm-hmm. And I've been playing a lot longer than you.
So from EA Salt Lake, what happened there?
So at EA Salt Lake, we were finishing up Minions Paradise and doing The Secret Life of Pets. And then we got the unfortunate news that they were shutting us down. I went and joined Cast AR for about 2 weeks. When I suddenly got a call and they said, we're bankrupt, we're letting you go. And
oh my gosh.
They're like, we're letting you go immediately. And then a couple of weeks later, I found out they were shut down because they just had no more money left.
That was such a weird time.
Yeah, seriously. It was. They were eventually picked up again. I recently found out. I don't know what the state of that is. I mean, it was pretty cool. It was awesome glasses you could put on and see games like in a almost VR perspective.
Is that The Void? Is that what The Void became?
No, The Void's a different group.
Oh, yeah, Void, completely different.
I think they were in like the same building or something in my mind. Like
No. Totally different parts of Utah.
Yep, sorry.
No, it's okay. And then I was kind of jobless for a while. It wasn't until about 3 months later. So I was friends with the audio director a little bit, like more acquaintances, because when I was at Mythic, I worked with him just a little bit at EA Capital Games in Sacramento. And he reached out to me, and a lot of people from EA Salt Lake had gone over to Capital Games. And they said, do you want to interview for an audio position? And I was like, yes, please. And so I ended up getting that job. The audio director there left to go work at Respawn. And then I became, I remember when he was gonna tutorial, like give me tutorials on what I needed to do and get me started on the job. On the Zoom call, there was like a Zoom call happening and my audio director from Mythic popped in. And I was like, what are you doing here? And he's like, surprise, I'm going to be your audio director again. And I was like, oh, so happy that I got my mentor back.
That's nice.
And just a testament to how small the game industry actually is. Right?
I know. And it also is a testament on like who you know to get you a job in the industry.
Your network is really critical.
Yeah. Yep. Especially in,
Well, in sound, I mean, how many people are doing sound in games in the United States?
Like, 5.
Yeah, right? Like,
it's a very small job.
Yeah. I think that just goes to show that all of your musical background, at least that's what I always understood, is what you brought to that was this level of it's like professionalism isn't the right word, but it's like your skills helped you do all the audio stuff, but you had this perfect ear for it, you know?
And it's weird to say when people say like, where did you go to school for sound design? And I'm like, I'm all self-taught. They're like, really? So it goes to show, like, if you put your mind to it and you can teach yourself and you show that you have the skills and you know how to communicate with a team, you know, that you can get the job. And especially if you know somebody. So don't let sound design imitate you in that sense. Like, you have to go to school for it. You have to, you know, flush out so much money to get the skills that you need, when honestly you don't. A lot of the stuff in the sound design world you can get for free to, you know, test out. Like, one of the engines that is mostly used in our industry is called Wyze by Audio Kinetic, and you can download that for free. You can hook it up to Unity, which you can download for free, or Unreal Engine, which you can get for free. So the tools are out there for you to build up your skill set.
Well, that's actually what I remember the most about your time when you were still an undergrad. Well, I mean, I think that actually didn't stop when you came into the program, is that I just remember you were like, I'm doing this art thing, but really this is what I'm good at. And I remember you sitting in the Merrill Engineering playing some of the stuff that you had written. And I don't think you knew that, like, I was there in my office or something. And I was like, what are you listening to? And you're like, oh, I just made this. And I was like, wow. I don't know if you remember that at all, but I remember that, because it was just like, you know, it's so fun to be to hear somebody creating, you know?
Yeah.
And cause I could tell you were just playing around with stuff, and I think you were like playing it for maybe Brandon Karate or something. Cause I think there was someone else there, but I just remember coming out of my office like, wow.
Yeah, so, I don't remember that.
So Misha, I'm not a musically inclined person at all. A lot of members of my family are, but I am not. And one thing I've learn from not only speaking with students, but just with people in general, is they feel that there's a barrier of entry to sound design or sound engineering, in that you have to be musically gifted or talented or whatever you want to call that. Is that true in your experience? Like, are a lot of sound designers and sound engineers, do they have a music background? Do you have any thoughts on that?
A lot of the sound designers that I know do have a musical background, and it does help your skill set, but that's not your job. Mm-hmm. If you need music for your game, it rarely falls upon the sound designer to create that music, unless it's a small project or a small studio, then you're kind of a master of all hats. For me, I did prototyping music for Minions. And then, you know, they're like, well, this is a Illumination, this is a Hollywood AAA movie studio, we need to hire someone that can get that feel and stuff. So it rarely falls on the sound designer to actually do that stuff. Now, it does help. So the project I'm currently working on is Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. And we recently did Mandalorian content. And I remember thinking, and this was brought up in a meeting, like, it's not going to sound like John Williams music when we do this stuff. So we reached out to a composer, and knowing some musical knowledge, I knew how to communicate better to him in that sense. So it does help, but it shouldn't deter you from trying to go into the sound design world. Another problem I've heard people say to me that they're scared of the industry is, I don't know how to record my sounds. Or get sounds to design with. And my answer to that is, well, if your job that you want to go into in the sound world is to become a recording artist, then sure, hone your skills, but that's not going to deter you from, like, that's not a skill set you have to go into sound design for video games. Most of the stuff that we work with is from like terabytes of sound library data that we have that we can pull from. And then if there isn't a sound in our libraries, perchance, in that terabytes of whatever data, then we can, you know, grab our Zoom recorders and go out into the world and record, or if we're doing a specialized thing like a VR game and we need 3D binaural audio, then we can get our specialized microphone and go out and record that way. But that's something that shouldn't deter you either. So I would say the skill sets that you should try to get for the sound designing world is, okay, so that's kind of a, you know, I just brought my own difficult question to me, to myself. You need to know how to communicate for one.
Right.
You also need to know that you can, if you were creating audio for a team, that you can match their audio so it sounds like it belongs in that game. So right now I always have to think, does this sound like something that Ben Burtt would create for Star Wars? Is this going to fit in any of the Star Wars universe? And then kind of knowing what tones you need to set, I guess the tone of your thing. If you're having a villain, what sound design are you going to apply to that villain? Is it going to be high or low tone, stuff like that? So just thinking about that. Another thing that we're trying to define right now in EA Mobile is some standardization, like how many, I'm going to go into some big jargon right here.
Great.
Do it.
Go for it.
Bring it on.
How many voices in a scene should you have? It's going to vary differently in mobile since your phone can't handle so much audio cues going off at once.
For sure.
Than AAA. In mobile, you need to have lower voices going off at once or else your phone might explode because it just takes that much more CPU. How many LUFS you're hitting, and LUFS is pretty much how loud is your sound going off at that point. You don't want your phone to be, or especially if someone has their headphones plugged in, you don't want to kill their ears with how loud it is.
Why isn't there a band named the LUFS?
You know, I don't know.
It's such a great
word. There might be. There might be.
Like, we should start a band right now because it's, you can use the music.
Yeah.
Wait, did you say we'll start a band and you can do the music?
Yes.
What are we going to be doing?
I can background sing something. I don't know. I love that word. Sorry. I was just like, can you tell us the word person, the LUFS? It's like, wow. It's like lumens, right? It's like, ooh, that's a cool word.
Yeah. LUFS actually does stand for something. I just can't remember what it is. So I always say LUFS.
It's like GIFs.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Gotcha. Like, so if I was trying to hire someone, I'd want to know, do you know like Wise, or have you messed with FMod? Do you know Unreal? Do you know Unity?
Right.
And how well can I actually work with you? And how well can you take direction? So stuff like that.
And I imagine that's especially important because audio teams, I mean, traditionally speaking, are significantly smaller than a lot of other teams, right? So it's maybe a handful of people working together as opposed to 40 people working together.
Yeah. You're not going to have like engineering teams usually have like the brunt force of the work. And then, yeah, audio isn't going to have that many people trying to do audio. As far as I know.
Well, I think one of the reasons why, I mean, when we started thinking about tracks for EAE, you know, Bob and Roger, obviously, when they started Capstone and when they started the master's program, we just didn't think that there were jobs out there for a lot of audio designers because a lot of studios outsourced it. And so, you know, we have every year students ask us how do I do this? And so we're always, I mean, I don't know if maybe this is actually helpful for me because maybe we're giving them the wrong advice because I mean, a music degree is not gonna hurt. And I know that there's a sound performance degree through the School of Music. And then the film department has some sound classes.
Yeah.
So that's kind of all, that's all we have, you know?
But, yeah. I mean, you're not wrong when you say that a lot of studios outsource because they do, but those outsourcing companies still need people to hire and have audio.
Right.
I mean, even in the places I've worked with, we've, you know, hired outsourcing to help. So I wouldn't say there's no jobs for it per se. It is very small and kind of hard to get into, I would say. But if it's like something that you really want to do, just keep at it and reach right. out to how many, who knows how many people you can.
Right.
I'm always happy to get emails and answer people's questions and gain connections. Cause honestly, you know, you never know who's going to get your connection or who's going to introduce you to someone. So.
I 100% agree with that. I think, I mean, you know, we always say, don't be a jerk. Cause you never know where that person on your team that you're being a jerk to is going to go, you know, you're going to want to go and work at that company. So
yeah. Yeah.
Important. I mean, you've certainly benefited a lot from your network. And so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So could you talk a little bit more, and you'll have to forgive my ignorance. I have worked around sound designers a ton, but I'm not an audio guy at all. And I actually had this question just asked to me like 3 days ago by a student, and I didn't know the answer.
Okay.
You mentioned most of the time you're not creating your own sounds. You have libraries that you're pulling from and mixing and things like that. Could you talk a little bit more about just like how that process works? Like, where do these libraries come from? And how are you finding the sound? Are you putting like bird chirp in the index? Like, could you talk about that aspect of it? Especially if it is terabytes upon terabytes of info that you're trying to get together.
Well, luckily I'm with a company, you know, that can get terabytes and terabytes of this data.
Sure.
I mean, so if you're trying to look for sounds for like your game, if you can go to sounddogs.com, Pro Sound Effects, Boom. Oh my gosh, I have more, but I can't think. maybe I'll send you guys just like a list of resources that students
awesome
they would be
can access.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these you can get royalty free. I mean, you just have to look at the license. I mean, seriously, look at the license and make sure that you know you can actually use it for free. And I wouldn't say that I don't really make my own sound effects. I wouldn't say that's like the right term, but I mm-hmm. do grab multiple things and I can distort them to make my own thing out of those. But the process is usually I will get an animation asset or a VFX asset along with the animation. And I go, okay, what's going on here? What is the player going to see? What do I need to convey to the player through my sound? So if it's like going to be an attacking role, I usually make it nice and punchy so the player knows something has hit, something has, you know, happened. And yeah. So there are two main programs that can handle your sound design. So you don't have to go through folder upon folder to find out what sound you're looking for. There's Basehead and SoundMiner, and those just take the metadata of those sounds and you can easily search, okay, I'm looking for punch. And then it will bring up every single sound it can find with metadata that tags it as punch or punches in the name, et cetera. And then I'll just pull whatever I want into my digital workstation, which can be Pro Tools or right now I'm using Reaper because it's awesome and it's cheap and it's free. If your students ever get into sound design, Reaper, I think, is like one of the ways to go. I'll mix it in there and make sure it's nice and compressed because phones can't handle big audio data and put it into our audio engine. And then I will then attach it to whatever it needs to be on in our game in Unity. And then I'll test.
Are you doing a lot of that still now that you're a lead? Are you still doing a lot of day-to-day stuff? Plus, I'm sure you're doing a lot of control of other things and checking other people's work. And
yeah, so the mobile industry, a lot of mobile studios, they're smaller than AAA. So I luckily recently just got someone to work with me and I'm mentoring him through stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm still the head of the sound design. I need to, you know, make all the assets and just make sure everything's, you know, getting out the door. But a lot of mobile studios are like that. There's only one sound designer. Where AAA, you'll have like a couple. And so each of them has like their own focus. And when I say that, like the lower audio person will probably focus on like props or something. And then another person will do like characters or whatever. Another person specifically does voiceover work and recording sessions and editing like that. Kind of sole person who's, well, except for my now new person. Thank you for helping me, new person. I have to do all of that. I have to wear all of those hats.
Wow. That means you've got a really broad skill set, I would seem.
Seriously.
Like the VO and the, I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah. Luckily, being with EA, if I need something big like music, or if I do need a recording session or whatever, I can reach out to, you know, our mothership studio in Redwood Shores and be like, I need this. Let's get this and get the budget for it. So,
right. But
you know, smaller studios, if it's one sound designer, they're going to have to wear all those hats.
I bet you that's kind of fun. I would imagine that's kind of fun. I mean, that's sort of like what Adam did when he was in the industry, because he was head of story. So he wrote like, here, let me talk for you, Adam. He wrote the narrative, but he also wrote the instructions and the other stuff, right?
The app store description.
And right.
I was going to ask, speaking as someone who's had to do different things, what do you like? Is there one thing that you, or more than one thing that you really like? Like, oh, I love VO, but it's tedious to have to do, you know, VFX mixing or anything like that. Like, is there anything that you actually, among all the things that you're doing, is there anything that you really, really enjoy, or conversely something that takes more time than it should, or something you wish you didn't have to do as much of?
Honestly, I love doing all of it. The one that is kind of the thorn in my side is buttons and UI work, because for me, that's harder for me to like hear in my head, because those don't normally exist in the world. I mean, granted, like Minions did like some really weird stuff that no one in the real world could do, but I could kind of see in my head like that might sound like this in the real world, right? But UI is so different to me, so that's my thorn in my side. But I love doing like everything else. I remember in Machinima class, I love doing all the sounds, but I also love like doing all the phonome work for and like moving the mouths and trying to make it match to the VO and stuff. That just like fascinated me, and I love doing that stuff. Kind of everything except UI.
Well, it's part of, I mean, sound is such a huge part of storytelling, you know. Certainly that's the thing that I care about, you know, but
yeah,
I care about all of it, but it's certainly, you know, I can understand that, because you're like, I can hear this person's voice in my head, or I can hear the sound of the, like, when they open the door and they're angry, or, you know, just like little stuff like that. I could totally understand why that would be a little bit easier to visualize, to imagine. You know, I always tell our students, it's like, you want to play through something that the designers have imagined, not that they've made up, because when you make stuff up, it feels thinner.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
I mean, it's not wrong to make things up. It just has to fit the narrative. And
well, sometimes a button has to make a noise and kind of make it up. Twang.
Yeah. And in my instance, it has to make sense to be in the Lucas universe.
Right.
Otherwise, it'll be like, hey.
I want you to make a Star Wars button that goes like, just like something that's
complete. There is a button noise in Star Wars when, you know, Obi-Wan shuts off the thing.
That's true. The button noise.
Oh my gosh. So one time, so we were releasing an event for Jedi Knight Luke. And I had forgotten, because sometimes our assets just have like a generic sound on them. And then I go and like override it or whatever. I forgot to override Luke's attack, and it would call, I don't know if you know what the Gamorreans are in Star Wars. Oh. They're the pig-like creatures. And so every time Luke attacked, he would make a pig squeal. And nobody caught this until YouTubers were live streaming it. And I'm like, yeah. But luckily everybody found it funny, and we quickly did a hot fix. But Now that's just like
is awesome.
Quill lyric has just like become a thing. So
well, I can't even tell you how many times you I'm sure this probably happened when you were doing your games in school, and people will put dumb stuff in, like snarky text or something like that, and then they forget that it's there.
Yep.
And it's like, well, don't go there. Don't put the pig noise on anything.
Yep. Yeah. So
that's amazing.
So do you, Misha, do you like to get, and I imagine I already know the answer to this question, but do you like to get info on, because you mentioned you'll get a VFX asset. Do you like additional context and documentation about, like, you know, oh, I'm making sounds for a character. Well, here's some of this character's backstory and here's some of this character's outfits and everything like that. Does that kind of stuff help you as you are creating, I guess you'd call it a sound profile?
Absolutely. And in the Star Wars universe, you kind of have to, because a lot of these characters have their own unique sounds. Jango Fett's pistol is very unique. Darth Vader's helmet breathing is very unique.
Yeah.
So the more you know, and it's harder for me to do my work when I honestly don't know anything or I don't see anything. I mean, I want to work ahead as much as possible so I can meet, you know, deadlines, make sure everything's running smoothly. It makes it much easier to know what I'm going to be looking for if I can get what is going to come out of this character. So especially if, like, design, so say I'm working on a new game and designs comes to me and they're like, we're thinking having this character, they're going to be wearing heavy armor, they're going to be having a cape. That tells me, oh, Foley work, I need to do Foley for this heavy armor. I need to have cape flowy sounds, or when they rustle, there's going to be a cape sound along with that metal armor. Are they wearing a helmet? That's going to affect their voice, how that comes out. That's going to be muffled. Tell me all about the environment that they're in as soon as possible. Is this an alien world? Is this going to just be a regular forest? Then I can at least start picking out and researching what sounds I need to make whatever is happening at that moment for a game to, you know, come to life.
I love that idea of Foley. I don't know anything about it, but I always think about, like, the smashing of the watermelon for this. For this combat sounds, I'm like, that's disgusting, but oh my gosh, it sounds exactly right. What do you think?
Yeah.
I think we've all been warped by what we think. Like, we've all watched a lot of movies.
Yeah. And a lot of the stuff you hear in TV shows and stuff isn't happening in, like, it's not real world sounds. If any one of you at the U, I don't know if he still teaches there, but Stephen Pecchio Beckham's audio class, he'll have you do some Foley stuff. And, I remember we did one with a knife scene, and you literally grab, like, a grapefruit or something squishy, some sort of squishy fruit, and you stab, and that's what you're stabbing to make that gushy sounds and stuff. But like walking on snow is somebody actually walking on cornstarch to get sound or whatever.
I think I've actually seen that before. That's really funny. They used to make a mess in the other building that we were in.
Or like leaves is either you get real leaves like in the fall and you can use that. Or you can take the cassette tape stuff out and bundle that up and start walking on that.
Oh, right. Oh my gosh, how fun. That's
awesome. I know. I love Foley work.
Fun. Oh my gosh.
Well, so now I'm curious though, because you mentioned specific things. You mentioned Jango Fett's pistol and Darth Vader's breathing, right? Uh-huh. I imagine Darth Vader's been breathing for 40 years now. So are you ever creating Darth Vader breaths yourself, or is there a library of 2,000 different Darth Vader breaths and you're just randomizing them and throwing them in?
The first thing I do is I tell Lucas, this is what we're going to do. Do you have these sounds? Can I use them? We don't do voiceover work because I guess this is another thing. If anyone's doing a project that's going to reference an IP and you're going to do voiceover work, voice actors are in like their own union and guild and they're going to have their own separate fees and stuff. So it's just something you got to keep in mind. But a lot of sound, like coughing and laughing or stuff like that, that can be more considered sound effect world. Mm-hmm. Darth Vader breathing is a sound effect. So I was like, I need this, you know, we're going to be doing Darth Vader. Give it to me, please.
Well, and the internet's a jerk. So if you get the sound of the lightsaber wrong at all, it's just the internet will be mad at you.
I messed up Jango's pistol when we released Jango. And boy, how Reddit was
how
like.
How dare you?
How, yeah. So I was like, I just did like a minor tweak, I remember. Because I had this old asset and then I was just trying to beef it up, but the fans noticed. So I was like, all right, you're just getting whatever came from the movie. Here you go.
Yeah. I don't blame you for being unhappy about that.
I mean, I wasn't so much unhappy. It was it actually kind of made me happy. I was like, oh, you guys actually play with your audio on.
You listen to it. That's fair. That's totally fair. That's a really good point. Yeah.
So
I think that audio designers and sound designers, they are the unsung heroes, because I think not a lot of people, even people working in the industry, I don't think people know what it takes to make sound, right? Like in places I've worked before and on teams I've worked before, people will be like, oh crap, we should have had audio in on this conversation like 3 weeks ago. And so now all we're doing is delivering a list of assets and saying like, go, like get them quickly. But I also think that to your point earlier, Corinne, about like sound being important to storytelling and everything, it's one of those tricky things, because at least in my experience, like it can be hard to recognize good sound design, but it's very, very quickly apparent when it's either bad or when it's absent entirely. Like when you push a button and it doesn't make a sound, then you're just like, wait, why didn't my button make a sound?
Yeah. Yep. For those of you going into the sound aspects, get as many ears as you can on whatever. It's same with like 3D modeling. If like you're doing humans and you just share that human with someone who isn't an artist, because we see humans all the time, we can pinpoint and be like, I don't know how you fix that, but that looks weird to me. The same with sound. We're listening and hearing all the time. So if something's going to sound weird to someone, you know, you want to know. Even if I share my work with like all of my team as much as possible, because I just need to, if someone goes, hey, I hear this, I don't know what it is. And I'll go, oh yes, thank you for pointing that out to me. I can go fix that. Especially, here's just kind of a fun fact. Your ears start tuning out things after like 3 hours of listening to some of the same stuff. So as a sound designer, I have to take breaks otherwise. Mm. And then I'll just come back to my mix and I go, oh, okay. Just because your ears, if you're falling asleep to a fan, mm-hmm. your ear turns into white noise and you know, you'll fall asleep to it and you just kind of tune it out. So
that's actually kind of a benefit. Sometimes when I, it's a really tiny story. My very first job, I worked in a bakery and there was a video game cabinet, like an arcade cabinet that was right by where we were. And uh-huh. it was I think it was like Galaga or something. And there's a zhoo, 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 zhoo noise. It was probably Defender now that I think about it. Anyway, that drove all of us nuts when they put it in. And then like pretty soon nobody heard it. And people would come in and go, what is that noise? And we're like, what noise?
So when you take a break, how do you, like, is it like a palate cleanser? You're like
music, I'm gonna, or something?
Yeah, is it either music or is it no sound at all? Or how do you take those breaks to get your ears back into the right spot and your brain into the right spot?
Well, now that I'm a parent, usually my breaks are I go play with my child.
Fair.
And so I get all of his screaming and noises to palate cleanse me in the brain. So but usually going for a walk is like the best because it gets me outside and I can just kind of refresh. Sometimes it's good to just go on walks anyways in the sound design world, because then you can listen to everything that's happening and it's helped me come up with some ideas for some stuff every now and then.
That's cool. And you live in a place where you can actually walk outside a lot more than if you were here. Still.
Oh, yep. It doesn't snow here.
No.
Nope.
No.
It does rain a lot though.
Yeah, it's not really snowing here either. I don't know if your family's told you, but it's like
Yeah, it's been a not rad winter.
Really? Oh, Dang, that sucks. I saw you guys had brown snow the other day too.
Snert. They called it snert on the near. So that was exciting. Yeah, the climate change is happening. The weather is here. We're having a drought anyway, so it's crazy.
Oh man.
Bananas. So
Misha, what do you think one of the biggest misconceptions of audio design is, either from people in the industry or people without it? If there's one, if you would like to set the record straight on something, is there anything that you've encountered where it's like, yeah, this is wildly misinterpreted by the general populace or anything like that?
The two things that I get the most is, and you kind of already brought it up a little bit. People say, you know, just put in those boops and beeps and we're good. And I'm like, it's more than just that. There's a lot more to it than you think it is. A lot of times people think I just record my voice for sound design. And I'm like, nope, that's not how it works either.
It's like, boo, boo, done. Got it.
I mean, there's some instances where we do record our voice for things, but no, it's not like the whole game is just my voice.
You'd get paid a lot more, I'm sure.
If you're Michael Winslow, you can do
your
it.
Your voice right. Over.
Yeah. Another thing I get a lot, especially in the mobile industry, is nobody's playing with their audio on anyways. Hmm. And I mean, I've already proven that's not true, especially when I released Django's pistol. So
right.
Or, you know, Luke's pig squeal or, you know, stuff like that. So people do listen. Honestly, it's something you shouldn't say to your sound designers anyways, because you're basically telling them your job isn't important. So producers and stuff and BDs, your audio person is important. People do listen to the audio. So
I play a lot of mobile stuff and I listen until I don't need to listen to it, you know?
So. Yeah. And I get why a lot of them wouldn't have it on either.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people play it on the bus and don't want to disturb other people.
And I don't really need to listen to the same Animal Crossing song over and over and over again. But every time I get a new KK Slider song, I listen to it, you know, mm-hmm. They're crazy.
Well, and I was going to empathize with you, because if I had a nickel for every single time I heard of like it's just text, just put it in, or don't worry, no one's going to read it anyway. Like, it's like, oh, well, that makes me feel great. Thanks for boosting my ego on that one.
Everybody gets that. Like, no matter where, like, oh, it's just code. Just write it right, you know?
Yeah, this is what I loved about the U of U program is you made us do everything. Like, we had to take coding classes. And now I emphasize so much more with the programmers, because if I ask them to do something, I'm like, I know, I'm sorry. Yeah. So that's one thing I really liked about the program.
Yeah. There is definitely a method to our madness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes a bit more madness than method, but.
Yeah. Yeah. It honestly boosts that communication though.
Yeah. I think so.
Thank you guys.
Well, you're welcome. I mean, that's what we always say is, you know, we want you to be able to talk to people and respect people that do something you don't do, you know. It's such a critical part of communication. Like, I'm not kidding. Every single person that we have done the podcast with says the
communication,
learning how to be a communicator is the most critical thing I have for my job. And regardless of what the job is, because it's all teams, right? Like even if it's one person, you're still working with a team of other like engineers or artists or whatever, or designers,
right.
You know?
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have come to the part in the podcast where we have some rapid fire questions.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
They're fun. And sometimes we forget to do these.
do you want to take it, Corinne, or do you want me to?
We can take turns.
Okay.
Okay. So, Mish, what was the first video game you remember playing?
I mentioned it earlier, but my dad playing Myst, and I guess I wouldn't say I played that. I guess my first one was Doom.
Hmm.
A tiny little girl child playing Doom. I loved it though.
That's quite a game for a little girl to play.
So, I love that game.
Me too.
You mentioned Myst and Doom, so obviously PC, but what was the first console that you owned?
We actually had an Atari, but I don't remember us ever pulling it out. And then we got an NES, mm-hmm. and I can't remember what it was called, but it was like a Looney Tunes adventure something or another.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what it was called, but we had Duck Hunt too. And oh my first experience of ever fearing sound design was the dog laughing. That scared me as a child.
That is a weird noise.
It is a weird noise, but I guess they did their best on what would a dog sound like if they laughed in, you know, an NES 16-bit world.
Yeah, right? Like with no memory for sound.
Yep. But yeah, it still haunts me to this day, like just because of how much it scared me as a child.
That's awesome. So I know this is actually a hard question. What is your favorite video game of all time?
My favorite, I don't have just one. I've played Mass Effect 2 like over and over and over before. Like whenever I did plane rides, that was like my game that I would play during my time on a plane. And Skyrim is probably another one. Civilization is also another one. And then the game I kind of grew up with, aside from the games I aforementioned, is Counter-Strike.
Hmm. Awesome.
So is there a game in the past, maybe some of the ones you just mentioned, is there a game that you wish you could have actually worked on and been like a part of the development process?
Mass Effect. Their sound design, the music is amazing, and you know, hearing that they're going to do a legendary version, I'm like, I can't wait.
So I might actually finally play Mass Effect.
Yeah. I was in school when that came out, so it was like, I missed it. I feel like I have a hole in my game playing.
It's so good. I love it.
Adam, the next question in our list is funny, because I don't know if Misha plays Pokemon.
Play Pokemon.
So who's your favorite Pokemon?
Pikachu.
Oh, Pikachu. Me too, and I don't even play Pokemon.
My second favorite is Lapras and then Vaporeon.
I love how quickly you're just like, this.
Oh,
like,
she knows. Boom, boom,
boom. Yep, I collected the cards. I still collect cards when I can. It's just like and then I've played pretty much almost every Pokemon game.
Awesome.
So what are you playing right now? Not Pokemon related, just in general, what games are you playing at this moment?
Mom, I'm being a mom.
And that is a game. That is it's a game where you only lose. It's actually a terrible game.
So when I'm relaxing, I will usually try to play games with my husband and our friends. Currently, we're not really playing anything. He's playing Valheim, which just released. And I usually end up playing games, at least the games I'm playing right now are with my son. We got an NES emulator.
Oh, fun.
And we're playing Legend of Zelda. Oh no, it's not Link to the Past. Oh no, I can't remember which one is on there. But we're playing Legend of Zelda right now and he's loving it.
Oh, fun. He's 4?
He's 3.
3. He's tall.
He is very tall.
Yeah.
He's a little bit above average.
And 3 is great because it's just as they're being able to understand the concept of like a game, right? Like I input and it makes character move and story happens.
Yep. His favorite games right now are Animal Crossing, because he loves when I go to the museum and show him the butterfly room.
Oh, it's so pretty.
It's so pretty. And he'll say hi to all the butterflies.
Yeah.
And then Link and then Yoshi's Island.
Yoshi's Island's clutch.
Love those. So you've talked about students and you've given them some good advice, but is there anything else at the, you know, that you'd like to give any advice for students that may be wanting to get into sound design or audio?
Or know? Maybe giving advice to your past self. Is there anything you wish you could tell, you know, 8 years ago, 10 years ago?
Reach out. The people in the industry. I mean, we like talking to people. Don't be afraid of us. It's going to get you a connection. And honestly, you're going to learn from it no matter what. Be confident in what you do. It's something I struggle with all the time, even now. Just constantly second guessing myself or whatever. Don't be afraid of your work and put it out there. Make people hear it, because honestly, the feedback, you know, you need the feedback. You shouldn't be afraid of feedback. And that's kind of what makes the game industry work, is you need that feedback. It's not your game. I think Sterling even said this. It's not your game. It's everybody's game. And you're making, you know, EA's like NBA or EA Star Wars. So it's not just yours.
Yeah.
So honestly, get as many ears and eyes as you can on your work as you can.
Yeah.
Because you'll learn from it.
Well, that's...
Sorry.
I was going to say, that's what I remember most about getting to spend 2 years with you, Mish, is that you were afraid, but you pushed yourself all the time. And look what you have now, you know?
It's still hard. I always push myself to try to do more, especially now that I'm like in this kind of almost leadership role, trying to reach out to whoever I can, just so I can learn. And yeah, I guess another thing would be push yourself and don't be afraid to push yourself.
In my experience, the people who are the people who thrive are the people who are always wanting to learn and always realizing that where they're at, there can always be a different place.
Yeah. Another thing that goes along with that is don't be afraid to speak up for yourself. Especially in audio, I'm one of the last steps in the process. And you have to keep that in mind, and you need to tell your DD or your producer, if we're doing this much work, it's probably going to put me into overtime, stuff like that. I think Sterling said this, something to help alleviate overtime is to have a good DD on your team or a good producer.
Yep.
That is very true. So
it's their job to take care of you.
Yeah. So, and don't just sit back and be silent. You need to communicate. I mean, that's a general rule in anything, communicate. But especially if it's going to impact, you know, your mental state or whatever. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for doing this.
What a fantastic note to end on. I love that.
Take care of you guys. Take care of yourselves, especially in this weird time. Take care of yourself.
Yes. Everybody should take care of themselves and someone else if you can. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.